As you're taking a seat, I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we recently took our team here on our staff through a personality assessment, a productivity tool called Working Genius. It's a lot like personality profiles that you've probably taken in different times in your life where you see what your strengths and what your weaknesses are. It helps you see where you can learn and grow personally. It helps you see what kind of teammate, if there's an open position that you need to be looking to hire. It shares insights into where you're most efficient as a leader and where what may bring you the most frustration. And it's been a great resource to talk through as a team. I've taken these assessments for years, and as I've gotten older and seen and dealt with a myriad of issues and just walked through life a little bit, as I've grown in my maturity, I do believe I've grown in my maturity a little bit through the years. I see where I've grown in areas, but still have a long way to go in other areas. Part of my personality that's highlighted in these assessments, it seems like every time that I take them, and it's something that I've been trying to improve on and grow in, is a desire to please people. I am by nature a people pleaser. Now, on the surface, that can be a good thing because you don't want to let others down. You want to lift others up. You want to jump in and you want to serve others. It's part of the way that God has wired me, part of the way that God has probably wired many in this room. However, if we're not careful, being a people pleaser, it can lead to burnout. It can lead to frustration because sometimes as people pleasers, we have a hard time saying no. We have a hard time putting boundaries in place in our life. So we say yes to things. We take on more than we can handle. And as a result, what happens is we can extend ourselves to the point where we get frustrated, we get stressed, anxiety filled, and it leads to frustration. And again, something we've been trying to work on personally through the years. And what's helped me is scripture memory. So as a people pleaser, I remember years ago, okay, I'm going to learn Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? If I was still trying to please man, I'd no longer be a slave of Christ. And I remember just memorizing that. I want to be a God pleaser. Or take the book of Colossians, for example. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, you work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 29 tells us that the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever entrusts himself to the Lord is safe. And so this is what, as people pleasers, we kind of, you know, we want to be God pleasers. And I was thinking about that this week because, again, we recently did this personality profile. And what we're talking about today is all about pleasing the Lord. And that's the title that I've taken for the message today. If you're taking notes, as I encourage you to, write it down. I'm simply calling it Pleasing the Lord. Because at its root, this is what Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 9 is all about. Let's look at it together. The Bible says this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Now, this is the second to last message that will be a part of this study in the book of Ephesians. We've been at it all spring. Next week, we'll conclude this series with a message on the armor of God. And as we've unpacked this, we've done the best of our ability to show the balance of this book. The first three chapters have to do with doctrine. The next three have to do with duty. The first three chapters have to do with our position in Christ, who we are in Christ, all that we have in Christ. And the last three chapters, chapters 4, 5, and 6, all have to deal with walking our faith out. In fact, you have your Bibles open right there. Just look with me very briefly. Paul emphasizes and encourages us to walk our faith out. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. He says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. This has to do with our lifestyle. Chapter 4, verse 24, put on the new self that's made in the image and likeness of God. Chapter 5, verse 1, we're told we're to imitate God in our manner of life. Verses 9 through 15, part of imitating God is walking in light and love and wisdom. And then most recently, we looked at verse 18, talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, it affects every part of our life. It affects our words, how we speak to one another. It affects our attitude. Paul talks about being filled with the Spirit. We'll have an attitude of gratitude. We'll be thankful people. And then it talks about how it will affect our relationships. And that's where we were last week. We talked about what it means to have a Spirit-filled marriage. And this week, we're going to learn how to engage in the relationship between the parent and child and the employer and the employee. And just remember, at the root of everything that we're talking about today is this desire to please God. So let's talk about it. First, we see that children are to obey and honor. And all the parents and grandparents said, of course you did. And no, there, you see in this that there is a command, obey. There is a heart posture to honor. And let me just say this. I know that there are many in a room, when you're preaching in a room like this, there are many of you that are not in what I would call the active parenting game anymore. Your kids have moved on and you're now watching your children's children grow up, and maybe in some cases your children's children's children grow up. I know that this is a reality. Even though you are a parent whose children have moved out, you never stop being a parent, do you? I remember early on when I became a father, someone pulled me aside and said, listen, you are only going to be as happy as your saddest child for all of your life. And, you know, through time, that I've kind of realized that. You're only as happy as your saddest child. And I know for many of you who may not be in the active parenting game anymore, you could be tempted to go, this is great. I'm going to just nap through Pastor's sermon for the next few minutes. But in the words of Lee Corso from College Game Day, not so fast, my friend, all right? Because there is a word for each of us here, because every person in the room, doesn't matter how old you are, we are all a child of God. And if we will zoom out, when God gives a command to a certain group of people, we can always zoom out, and by the power and illumination of the Holy Spirit, we can make application to our lives. And that's certainly the case as we talk about being children of God as well. So let's look at obedience and honor. This is the commandment that is given by God to children. It is expected in their relationship with their parents. So let's talk about what obedience and honor is, and then we'll come back and kind of peel back the layers to even get to an even deeper issue that Paul is speaking to here. First, when Paul uses the word obedience, he combines two words here. One is a word meaning under. It's the same compound word, part of it, that was used in the word submit that we looked at last week. It has this idea of coming under. And remember, that was all about order. The second word is a word meaning to hear. It's where we get our English word acoustic from. And so you put these two words together, the word obedience here, it means to hear under or to listen under. What Paul is teaching children and teenagers, and the fact that he is addressing them personally, is huge. This was a patriarchal society, and so women and children had very little rights. They weren't considered powerful, certainly weren't considered equal to men. And so Paul, in even addressing wives and children here in Ephesians chapter 5, he addresses slaves. We'll work that out in just a moment. What he's doing is he's turning what was referred to as the household codes of the Roman Empire on their head. What he's doing here is very countercultural, and he is speaking directly to the children. And he's teaching them, even in speaking directly to them, that they have value and dignity. He's issuing reciprocal responsibilities. There's a mutual submission here. What starts in verse 18 of being filled with the Spirit, it leads out into verse 21 that we are submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. And so he's got responsibilities and he's got limits on power and authority. And here he says, children, obedience is to get under your parents' instruction. Not just listening with your ears on what they have to say, but paying attention to. It's active listening with the intent to do what is said. That's what it means to be obedient. It is to listen with an intent to obey. The emphasis is on the action. Notice what Paul tags onto this command. Look at it there in verse 1. Children, obey your parents. He uses this phrase, in the Lord, for this is right. What Paul's doing is he is linking up obeying parents with obeying God. It's one and the same here. Now, you're like me, adults in the room. You knew growing up, you did what mom and dad told you to do for the most part. But as you were doing it, come on now, we're all in the same, we're in church, let's be honest. We all thought, mom and dad, they're so out of touch. Like, they don't know what I'm going through. They don't know what my friends are like. I'm gonna do what they tell me to do, but I mean, do they really know? It reminds me of what Mark Twain said. He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Children, teenagers, listen to me here. Listen to your pastor. Your mom and dad have been around the block, all right? They got a little street cred when it comes to knowledge and experience in life. And whether you believe it or not, mom and dad are not your adversaries. They are for you. They believe the best in you. And what we're gonna see here is when you obey your parents as God commands, and he links up obeying your parents to obeying him, typically it's going to work out very, very well for you. Again, remember what we're after, pleasing the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, parallel passage to Ephesians. Colossians 3:20, Paul says, children, obey your parents, look at this, in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So it pleases the Lord to obey, but it's not just obedience and doing what we the parents tell us to do. It's the posture of our heart. It's an attitude that comes along with it. It's obey and honor. That's what verse 2 and 3 says. Honor your father and your mother. So we can obey in action, but our hearts be far from obedience. Right? It reminds me of the little boy, you've heard of this before, where the dad tells him to sit down and the little boy doesn't want to sit down and the dad repeats himself, son, you need to sit down. Gets a little more stern with him. Little boy still doesn't want to sit down. Son, sit down. Finally gets up. He goes, looks his little boy in the eyes and he puts his hands on his shoulders and firmly sits him down and says, sit down. To which the boy replied, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I am standing up on the inside. All right? That's obedience on the outside, but it's not honoring on the inside. Obedience and honor go hand in hand. The word honor means to respect, to hold in high esteem, to value. And again, it's a posture of the heart. Now, where on earth does Paul get this command? Obey mom and dad, honor mom and dad. I mean, think about it. Paul was single. He didn't have any kids. What gives him the right? Where did he get this whole idea of honoring and obeying mom and dad? I was at a conference a few months ago, and a pastor came in. There's a bunch of pastors in the room, and he was talking to us actually about raising children. And he said that, and he's already retired, older in years, but he said as a young dad, as a young pastor, he was gonna write a book on parenting. He said as a 28-year-old pastor with no kids, the working title of his book was 10 Rules for Raising Godly Kids. He had his first kid about 2 years later. very strong-willed child. And he said, as a 32-year-old pastor with a strong-willed 2-year-old, he changed the working title of his book to Seven Principles for Raising Good Kids. A few years later, he has kid 2 and 3. He's in his 40s. And he had to edit the title once again, and he edited it to 5 Guidelines for Raising Kids. And then a few years later, during the kid's teenage years, he finally got the book written and published. The title was 3 Suggestions for Surviving Parenting, all right? Sounds about right. Where did Paul get this idea to honor parents? He got it from the 10 Commandments. The law of God. If you're familiar with the law of God, you know the first 4 commandments have to do with our vertical relationship with the Lord. The next 6 have to do with our horizontal relationship with one another. And what's right in the middle? It's commandment number 5. We find it in Ephesians chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, it's very interesting. When Moses is about to lead the people of Israel into the wilderness, he takes this command and he simply repeats it to them. But in his farewell address, one of his farewell address in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he actually adds commentary to it. We find this in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Notice the subtle change, the commentary that he adds to it, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So Paul takes what God commands in Exodus chapter 20. He takes Moses' commentary in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and he combines it here in Ephesians chapter 6 to communicate something very important, that when we honor mom and dad, when we obey mom and dad, there's a blessing that is attached to it. And what we see is it's quality and quantity of life, that it may go well with you. That's quality. That you may live long in the land. Quality and quantity of life. So what God is saying, what Moses adds to it, what Paul echoes is when we obey our parents, there is a blessing of God that comes along with it. In other words, when you truly desire to please God and do what mom and dad say, typically, it's going to go well for you and lead to a better and more satisfying life. What Paul says here is if we honor parents, God will honor us. And so bottom line is, it's worth it. If you are under the age of 18 and living in your parents' home, under their roof, it is worth it to obey. And for the adults in the room saying, how does this apply to me? Again, every one of us are a child of God. And who is the ultimate parent? God himself will always be his child. And so the applicational principle for us is, we're seeing that children should obey mom and dad. The question is, are we obeying the greatest parent to us? That is God. Are we honoring God? Obeying him? Not just when we feel like it. Not just when what he directs is agreeable with us. Not just when we can get something out of it. Not just when it fits our timetable. No, we come under the authority of the Lord, and we listen with an intent to obey. And when we do this, we will be honorable followers of Christ. See, we talk about being honorable children. The question is, are we honorable parents? Are we honorable grandparents? There's a lot of you grandparents in the room who are raising your children's children, and we honor you today. And don't forget the importance. Psalm 78, passing your faith on to the next generation. I think about my grandparents and the effect that they had on my life. I eat Vienna sausages today because my pawpaw ate Vienna sausages, all right? I mean, he was larger than life. I still remember words of wisdom that he said. I've shared this with you before. Before I preached my first sermon, my pawpaw said, Jarrett, put a mint in your mouth, and when it's out, you're down, all right? You're done when it goes. He said, you're either gonna rust out or you're gonna wear out, but when you're out. You know, he wanted me to wear out. He was a farmer. He was all about hard work. I believe I'm a product today of my grandmother's prayers for me in so many ways. And so for some of you grandparents in the room, how this applies to you, for some of you, you are the most stable and consistent presence in their life. And that's what they need, stability and consistency. And so I want to urge you on to just be present in your grandkids' life. This command to obey and honor, again, there's so much more to it. If you peel the layers back, it's all about authority, being under authority. Don't forget the context of Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God, verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5. And one of the supreme evidences of being filled with the Spirit is not speaking in tongues. One of the supreme evidences of being filled with the Spirit is verse 21, mutual submission. And so God, in his created order, set the world up for us to be under authority. It's a part of who God is and how he designed the earth. In the home, we have authority. It's the husband. And the wife, as we saw last week, lovingly comes under the leadership of her husband as the husband is under Christ. And now the children come under a husband and a wife who are submitting to the Lord and mutually submitting to one another. In the workplace, we'll get this in just a moment, but there's authority in our life in the workplace, and it's there for a reason. In society, the reason the Bible gives us government is for our good, the scripture says, and we are to live under the authority that God places us in, even if we don't agree with it. In the church, Paul already mentioned this in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. There are certain giftings and callings in the church so that there's order and we are under authority. Obedience and honor is so much more about being under authority than it is just do what you're told to do. Authority is good for us, and God has built it into his created order. And let me say this, someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God will not run from authority, but will embrace it. I mean, you think about the first sin in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, it was to get outside of the authority of God. We're gonna do what we want to do. And as a part of our sin nature, that we inherited very, very honestly from our great, 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 great grandparents, Adam and Eve, we don't like being told what to do. Combine that with most of us in the room being red-blooded Americans, we revolt at authority, right? So we've got a lot of work to do in this. But God, he always places authority in our life for a reason, even when we don't like it. And more often than not, when we're placed under authority that we don't like, God has purposed it there to shape our character, to sharpen us. If you're in a workplace situation right now, and again, we're gonna work out the workplace here in just a minute, and you're under authority that you don't gel with and you don't like, God has put you there for a reason, to sharpen you, to shape you, and you better learn all that you can under that authority, because if you try to escape it, I promise you, you didn't learn the lesson, God will put you right back under authority, so you will learn the lesson. Authority is a good thing, and that's what honoring and obeying our parents is all about. And so children, honor and obey your parents, even if your parents aren't honorable. That's what the Bible commands. Then we see Paul add a word to the fathers here in verse 4. There's, of course, an extension to the mothers implied in this, but again, it just goes to the weight of the responsibility on the dads. The scripture says, don't provoke your children to anger, but instead, you train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You train them up. Dad, this is your responsibility. The weight falls on you. I mean, this idea of being under the authority of God, where do you think children get their idea of who God is and what God is like from? It's first dropped into their hearts, for better or for worse, by an earthly father. That's why there's a weight to this. And the command here, dads, is don't cause irritation or annoyance. Don't exasperate your children. Don't discourage them. Instead, that's the exact opposite of what we should be doing. We should be encouraging. We should be building up. Again, Colossians 3:21, Paul puts it like this. Fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So dad, if you want your children to obey God, to be honorable, it starts in the home. How on earth is a child who does not obey a mom and a dad who they see every day, how on earth are they gonna obey an authority that they've never seen? And so it starts in the home. It starts with you, dad, living under the authority of God so that you can be a good model to your child. John MacArthur has an article, Ways Parents Provoke. I'll just give it very quickly. One, well-meaning overprotection. It's a way that we can provoke our children. Helicopter, never letting them go, never letting them make mistakes. Favoritism, we know better than to do that. Pushing achievement beyond reasonable grounds. Discouragement. Failing to sacrifice for their children and make them feel unwanted. Failing to let children be children. Using love as a tool of reward or punishment. Verbal or physical abuse. Dad, you are showing your child a picture of God, teaching about authority, whether you realize it or not. My dad's here today. I wasn't planning on saying this until I saw him. He came to the house yesterday from Louisiana, and I was teaching on this, and I thought, oh, that'll be a good illustration, you know, because dad, he was a great dad. You know, so often we talk about giving our kids grace in these days. Well, sometimes they need law to appreciate grace. You know what I'm talking about? And so I remember one time, dad knows where I'm going with this story, Miss Vaughn's class in the sixth grade. We had to write a research paper on an animal, all right? Now, my last name being Stevens, it was always toward the end. So all the kids had picked the best animals out there, okay? And so it got to me, and I didn't know what animal to do my research paper on, so I was pulled out the encyclopedia, right? I'm looking through it. That was the Google of the day back in the day, all right? The encyclopedia. And I said, I'm gonna do it on a llama. And so, I chose a llama to do the research paper on. Well, I mean, look, I'm a scatterbrained. You think I'm scatterbrained today? Get me as a sixth grader, all right? And I didn't really work on it. Now, my dad, growing up, I'm chasing a rabbit here, but it'll entertain me, all right? My dad, growing up with the graduates in the room, when we had Meet the Teacher night, every year, my dad would go with me to meet the teacher. And at the end of the teacher's presentation, you know, most people just left the class. They just let it be. Not dad. Dad would bring me up to the teacher. Come here. Bring me up to the teacher. And he would say, listen, if Jared gets out of line, I want you to deal with him. And then I want you to call me and I'll deal with him, all right? And I would just sit there with him. You hear me? Okay. And that was how I would do. And so sixth grade comes. I got a paper due on the llama. I hadn't done anything. And I miss a deadline. And Miss Vaughn says, well, I'm going to call your parents. Well, I know one thing. Do not call my dad because, man, that would not be good. But my mom was out of town. She said, give me your mom's number. I said, my mom's out of town. She thought I was being smart aleck, but I wasn't, all right? I was just making a statement. Well, little did I know that she called my dad. I get home that afternoon, and dad's working out there, and I noticed he was a little cold when I came home. You know, wasn't as welcoming as he usually is when I was home. I didn't think anything about it. And I go into the room, you know, I'm doing my own thing. Hour or two later, dad comes in from outside. I'm sitting at my desk, and that door swings open. Boom. And dad taught me a lesson that I have not forgotten to this day, all right? You feeling me? You feeling me? He taught me a lesson that I have not forgotten to this day. He laid down the law, all right? And let me just say, a teacher never called him ever again. But you know what else he did that night after he laid down the law? He took me to the public library and he helped me get all these books on llamas so that I could write my research paper, all right? Law and grace. Dads, you have a responsibility to show your children who God is. Again, the call is in Ephesians chapter 5, we are to imitate God. And sometimes we're going to have to show them that there are boundaries they can't pass for their own good. It's law, it's grace, it's love, but all in the spirit of not provoking to anger. And so children, we are to honor and obey our parents. There's an action, obey. There's a heart posture, honor. Now let's move to the workplace. Let's transition to the workplace. And again, all of this is under the direction of being spirit-filled. We will never please the Lord and obey mom and dad in the workplace, be the dads that we need to be, the moms that we need to be, the husbands that we need to be. And by the way, let me just say this. I meant to say this last week, and I'll just say it again. There are some of you in here that maybe you're dads, and you're thinking, man, I messed up. I didn't do this right. I just want to encourage you in this moment to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And if you've messed up in a marriage, or you messed up in raising your kids, you want to know what's pleasing to the Lord. The very thing that could please the Lord today is for you to leave that guilt at the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a new creation in Christ, and you, by grace, you just move forward and do the best you can in the days ahead, okay? That would be pleasing to the Lord if you feel like you failed in some way. And by the way, if you have failed, welcome to the club, all right? It's a lot of us in it, okay? Now, talking about the workplace. The scripture says here, uses the word bondservants in verses 5-9. NIV translates it as the word slave. Very important to note, this is not the same slavery that we refer to in our nation's history, okay? It's not talking about that at all. Bondservants at the time of the Bible, it wasn't defined by race. Someone could make themselves a slave voluntarily. In many cases, a bondservant or a slave may or may not have been serving against their will. In Ephesians, at the time of the Roman Empire, when Ephesians is being written, some scholars estimate that there were 60 million slaves, okay? So Paul's not condoning slavery at all. What he's doing is just speaking to the reality as it existed in the Roman Empire and the times in which he lived. And there's been a lot of ink spilled on these verses, but most scholars will say that a proper application of this text can be made in the context of an employee-employer relationship. So for children, they have to obey and honor, okay? There's an action and a heart posture for employees and employers, and that is to serve, and I would use the word sincere, all right, or sincerity. There's an action, serve, and a heart posture to be sincere. Again, look at verse 5-7. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Let me just say this, and we're gonna fly through it, but Christians, you ought to be the best employee your company has. Paul is appealing to a higher calling here. He's saying you're not just working for man, you are working for God. And even if your boss is uncaring, mean, harsh, difficult to get along with, your calling is to serve them and to serve them well. That's why he says, you are rendering service with a good will. Other translations translate that as you serve wholeheartedly. You're serving the Lord and not man. Recall Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So no matter how difficult your work environment is, you're to come up under your authority, because authority is good for you. God is shaping you, he is sharpening you, and you are to serve that person as you are serving Christ. So you look through your boss to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you're serving. Eugene Peterson puts it like this in his book, the translation, The Message. Servants, respectfully obey your earthly masters. I love this. But always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to get by, but work heartily as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. What we see is when we do our part, God will do his. Verse 8, we'll receive from the Lord. There's a blessing to this. I don't know what all that's like, but I just recall the words of my mama speaking about honoring grandchildren. She always said, you can't outdo the Lord. And it's true. He will bless you. We want to please the Lord. Graduates, we talked about you going and living on mission. Your greatest mission field is going to be your workplace, where you go. And if you're retired and out of the workforce, I would ask, how are you engaging in volunteer opportunities? What kind of servant of Christ are you? Are you doing it with a smile? Are you doing it with joy? Are you putting your best foot forward? doing the best job that you can. Again, this is a reflection of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the only way we will consistently serve with a heart posture towards sincerity. That's what Paul says. You serve with a sincere heart. Jesus was the greatest servant leader to ever live, totally under the authority of his Father. And you look in the Gospels, his favorite term to use to describe himself is the Son of Man. Outside of the Son of Man, he uses the term servant over and over and over again. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And we see it, don't lord your authority over others as the world does, but instead the first shall go last. You serve them. And by the way, if you're an employer, you treat those under you with respect. It's a call to mutual submission. And the heart behind it is to please the Lord. So, how about it? In the home, are you pleasing the Lord? At work, are you pleasing the Lord? As a child of God, are you pleasing the Lord? That's the question that's on the table today and that we've all got to answer. Please the Lord. Let's pray together.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.